Just a heads up before we get into today's episode, for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners, this episode contains the name of someone who has died.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
Especially the day after I've mowed, because there's a certain smell out here then when you've got fresh cut grass, and especially you come out in the morning, the sun's shining and all the mountains are on, you know, it's beautiful.
That's John Gardner, the greenskeeper at the Trawana Cape Barron Island Golf Course off the coast of Tasmania. Sounds idyllic, doesn't it? The Marawana Golf Course boasts 9 holes with stunning views and a shoes-optional dress code. The island has a population of around 80 residents, and this course has become an integral part of the community. And if you're adding this beautiful course to your golfing bucket list, think again. This is a course by the locals, for the locals. Golf looks different at Marawana. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Louise Myland is an ABC reporter based in Launceston and was lucky enough to take a visit to the Marawana Golf Course on Cape Barron Island. There are so many lovely threads to pull in this story, Louise, but I want to start with the obvious. How did we end up with a golf course on an island with less than 100 residents?
Yeah, that's right, Poppy. It's a pretty amazing place. And I think the way this golf course came about is how many things come about on this island, which is that the community decided that they wanted it. So this community is Aboriginal owned and run, and at a community meeting back in 2013, a woman called Furley Gardner, who has since passed away, she stood up and said, "You know what, fellas, we should have a golf course on this island." Now, prior to this, Furley's son, John, he'd just been hitting golf balls just down the beach on his own.
Oh, she probably knew I used to go down the beach all the time, down the river beach, and hit along one end of the beach to the other and hit back.
So I think she thought, you know what, he deserves his own place to play. And so that's how it came about. And, a few months later, it opened and here we are.
I want to ask about the name because I'll be honest, when I read it, I didn't think anything of it. And then I said it out loud for the first time and I had a bit of a chuckle. It's the Marawana Golf Course. Where did that come from?
Yeah, that's exactly what the name's designed to do, I think, is just make people sort of do a double take and have a bit of a chuckle.
It was a bit of a play on words for me, and it's different. People sort of looked at it and I said, well, say it quick enough a couple of times. And then I realised that, oh, this marijuana. So the words have been changed, so it's completely ours. You won't find another name like it.
A lot of the holes around the course have also got funny names, like the Long Drop is one of them. And John, the man who sort of runs the course, he puts a lot of effort in making really beautiful signs for all these interesting names. So there's some pretty great marijuana signs also.
Can you tell me about John and the care he has for this course?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. He's out there, you know, a few times a week at least on the mower, sort of tending this beautiful course that he cares for so much. And he's a volunteer, like he's not getting paid for this. But when I asked him what his role was at the course, he went, well,
everything. The greenkeeper, the manager, the organiser, player, do everything.
All the things. And there are plenty of other people that help him out too, but everyone in the community, whenever you talk about the golf course, they go, oh, you got to talk to John. And it's really clear that he just puts so much love into it. And it's a pretty impressive thing that he's created.
So we have a golf course on an island off the coast of Tasmania. And I can't imagine, having been to Tassie a couple of times, can't imagine the views are half bad. Can you tell me about the course itself and where it's situated?
Oh, it's pretty spectacular, Poppy. It's so Trawana, Cape Barron Island is, yeah, off the north coast of Tassie in the, you know, icy waters of the Bass Strait. It's a really isolated place, but it's incredibly beautiful. And from the course, on a clear day, you can see across to the next island over, which is Flinders Island. And you can see the mountain range there just sort of looming on the horizon. It's sort of rolling green hills, dense bushland and, you know, a clear blue ocean. It's really pretty magnificent. It's 9 holes. And John sort of changes them around so that the shape of the course changes every now and then. And it's just, yeah, really sort of clear air. You can hear the birds. And the birds are actually a pretty fundamental part of the course because on this island, if a crow steals your ball, that's an advantage. So there's lots of things that set it apart from other places.
So I want to know a bit about the things that set it apart, because I think for a lot of people, when you think about golf, it's a very proper game, the sport and the courses, there's etiquette, there's proper dress codes, there's manner of playing and those sorts of things. So what are we talking about on Cape Barron Island? You've mentioned the Crows. What's the dress code?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's the complete opposite of all of the sort of highbrow, exclusive, rich, high flyer stereotypes that you might have about a golf course, right? You can rock up in whatever you want, thongs, bare feet, whatever, high vis, doesn't matter. And the spirit of the place is really that, you know, you just come as you are.
Well, it is important. It brings the community together, rock up, and I'll say that to everyone that wants to have a game, oh, I can't play, just say, well, it doesn't matter. Just come out and have a hit. And have some laughs, because you're bound to get some.
And, you know, I don't want to offend anyone on this island, because there are some players with decent shots, but I think it's fair to say no one's here to be a professional golfer. And it really does not matter if you're absolutely terrible at golf. Everybody's welcome. There's a weekly hole-in-one competition that people really get around. And the vibe on the course is just, yeah, it's so relaxed. And you can hear people cheering for one another, like really getting into it.
It doesn't matter if you're good at golf or not. People support you 100%. People laugh at each other and laugh at themselves, which is the main thing.
I spoke to one player, Tim Maynard, who's one of the island's best players. And when I asked him what he loved about it, he was like, it's not even about me being good at golf. He said, it's actually a better feeling when someone else makes a good shot and then you can celebrate.
The very first time we held the hole-in-one, I got the first hole-in-one on that day. I reckon it feels better when someone else gets a good shot and celebrate and join in it.
So the vibe on the course is just like totally jubilant. It's a lot of fun and, yeah, very much the opposite you might usually associate with golf.
So what I know about golf courses with stunning views is that they are often a fairly exclusive and fairly expensive place to get into. So for golf enthusiasts, somewhere like this could become like a bucket list course. Obviously, you know, courses like Barmboogle, which are also in Tassie, is one of those courses. It's a bucket list course. Sort of this has got those stunning views. It's got those unique rules. People would be drawn to those sorts of things. How hard is it to land a game on the course at Murrawana?
Well, it's free for a start, so that's pretty different to Cape Wickham Links over on King Island. But, you know, I don't want to pour cold water on anyone's hopes of going there, but Cape Barron Trawana is really quite an isolated place. The Tasmanian government gave the land back to the Aboriginal community in 2005, and the island is run entirely by the community, and so is this golf course. You know, it's not designed with sort of rich tourists in mind. It's for locals.
It's been a team-building thing on the community. It's one of the things that have bonded the community together.
But for those locals, it's incredibly accessible. It's completely free to play, and it's become a real staple of their social calendar. But yeah, it's very much a course by and for the local community.
So if this wasn't built to bring people to the island, can you give me a bit more of an insight into how it has been received and how it's used by the locals? Is golf taking off on Cape Barron Island?
Oh, absolutely. When my colleague and I arrived on the island and we were sort of just, you know, speaking to people, what do you like to do? What should we do when we're here? Who should we speak to? So many people said, oh, you got to get out to golf. It's become this real staple of the social calendar, which is quite interesting, right? Because like we said, golf is traditionally associated with, you know, a very sort of exclusive crowd maybe, but here it's become a real like, yeah, it's just staple for the community. And I'm told that the site that the course is on used to actually be used for footy. And that hasn't happened for many years now because there just isn't really the population. But golf has sort of replaced footy as the, you know, the key sport. And yeah, it's a real sort of part of community life. It's used for socialising. It's used for getting people out of the house and back sort of into nature.
In a way, I've seen it get a lot of people out of the houses in the community. You know, where they sit in the house all the time, and it's actually got them out of the house and out walking on country.
And it's a gathering place. They hold memorial games when community members have died.
I'm Brooke Burke. So today I was the first female to win the Sharon Shuffle Pairs Championship. I've been coming here for 3 years doing the championship since my auntie passed away, and we do this game as a tribute to her. And today I won.
How's that feel?
Great.
So it's really like not just about the sport here. It's all those things that sport can do for a tiny community, which is bringing people together.
So you hopped on a tiny plane. You went to an amazing golf course. Tell me this. Did you have a hit and how did you go?
I did have a hit. I did have a hit. John coached me through. I was not very good at it. But, like, he was so enthusiastic and it's just such a joy to be there. I'm playing golf with John and I'm just running because I'm so bad that I've hit the ball way too far in the other direction. I've got to go pick it up for him. What do you reckon, John? I got a bit to practice. You know, and like I said, it really doesn't matter if you're not very good at golf. People support you and encourage you, and I think that's what it's all about there.
Well, Louise Millen, you have something that a lot of golf players probably want and will never have, which is to have a hit on the marijuana course at Cape Barron Island. Thank you so much for sharing this story with us. It's such a wonderful yarn. It's the changing face of golf on a small island. Thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Thanks, Poppy.
Headlines. AFL and prosecutors have abandoned a sexual assault case against Geelong's Tanner Bruin and his friend Patrick Sinnott. The pair were accused of sexually assaulting a woman back in 2023 and were also charged with rape. A committal hearing in September was told the men travelled with the woman to a bottle shop car park and paid for sexual services. The woman accused them of sexual assault and rape when they allegedly refused to comply with her demands for extra money. Both men were set to plead not guilty before the Office of Public Prosecutions withdrew the charges. The case has been under a 9-month suppression order, which has now been lifted. The Wallabies Spring Tour of Europe isn't set to get any easier as they prepare to face Ireland this weekend without Will Skelton, who injured his ankle playing for his club side La Rochelle in France. James O'Connor has also joined the squad as fly half cover after Carter Gordon aggravated a quad niggle in the loss against Italy. The Wallabies are facing some unwanted history of becoming the first Australian team in almost 70 years to go winless through a 4-test tour of Europe, with Ireland and France still to come. Cricket, and as I said yesterday, it's a week for watching Sheffield Shield ahead of the first Ashes test in Perth starting next Friday. All eyes are on the Wacker ground in Western Australia as Cam Green tests out his new bowling action to see whether he can contribute with the ball for the national team this summer. And the good news? He had a wicket within his first 3 overs.
Beautifully bowled, and Green has one. He's on the board. It's been a good spell so far from Cameron Green, and he richly deserves to get his first one this morning.
Brendan Doggett proved why he was included in the squad, taking 5 wickets for South Australia. And in reply, Bo Webster took 5 for 50 for Tasmania. And you know how everyone is always worried about whether Steve Smith has found his hands at the start of every summer? Well, he scored a 50 for New South Wales against Victoria, so I guess he found them just in time.
Lovely looking shot from Steve Smith, and that brings up his 50. It's been a fine knock from Smith. He's steered the ship and sort of steadied the ship for New South Wales as wickets have tumbled around him.
F1 and Ferrari boss John Elkann had some harsh words for his drivers after both Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc failed to finish the Sao Paulo Grand Prix on the weekend, telling them to focus on the driving and talk less.
If we look at our engineers, there's no doubt that the car has improved. If we look at the rest, it's not up to par. We certainly have the drivers, for whom it's important that they focus on driving and talk less, because we still have important races ahead of us.
The comment came after Lewis Hamilton referred to his season as a nightmare.
I mean, this is a nightmare. I've been living it for a while, so the flip between the dream of driving for this amazing team and then the nightmare of results that we've had, the ups and downs. Tomorrow I'll get back up, I'll keep training, I'll keep working with the team, and I'll come back as strong as I can in the next race and try it.
One to watch. Soccer fans will have heard of a bicycle kick, but how about an icicle kick? In the Canadian Premier League final, Atletico Ottawa scored a stunning victory over Cavalry FC in temperatures that were 8 degrees below freezing, thanks to an overhead kick from David Rodriguez.
Trying to cross. Anyone's to claim in the air. Bicycle! Oh, my God! Esso! The most incredible goal in CPL history levels this final.
The conditions were such that play had to be halted every 15 minutes for a snowplow to clear the lines, and goalkeepers were using shovels to carve out their boxes. At some point, you just got to call it a day. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Jason Ford. Thanks to Fox Sports, Sky Sports and the Canadian Premier League for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.